for the banks and insurance companies, the risks are actually greater than just the physical risks. There are legal risks involved, particularly for the banks who have committed to the goals of the Paris Agreement and net zero emissions by 2050 to keep global warming to 1.5 degrees by continuing to fund fossil fuel companies that are building new fossil fuel projects. This is a direct contravention of their public commitments. So who are the big four Australian banks funding? Well, these are our big three climate baddies at Australia, at Market Forces, at least in Australia. So there's Whitehaven Coal, who have been loaned to as recently as 2020 by NAB and Westpac. That loan is still active. There's Santos, who are building numerous new oil and gas projects around the world, not just in Australia. And then there's Woodside Energy, who has one of the biggest gas projects proposed in the world in the Scarborough Pluto 2 project. That project alone would cause an estimated 1.37 billion tons of CO2 over its lifetime and operate into the late 2040s. So all these companies, essentially, the reason they're our targets is because they have shown no willingness whatsoever to change their business models. They are doubling down. They are building massive new projects completely at odds with the climate science that we know about. And yet the banks continue to fund these companies and sanction those business models. Fossil fuel companies, in order to grow, in order to thrive, in order to build new fossil fuel projects, they need a few things. So they need debt, which they get in the form of loans and bonds from banks. They need insurance. They need these companies, insurance companies, both to invest in them and also to insure their projects, their new fossil fuel projects. And they need investors, and investors can take many forms, whether they be super funds or investment banks, institutional investors, or just individual standalone investors. They need all of these things to sanction their business model. And what we've found with divestment is that it increasingly makes the cost of doing business harder and harder for fossil fuel companies. Particularly, they've found this out in the coal industry, where they're having increasingly harder time finding finance that they need to build new coal mines or new coal power stations, and the avenues they're needing to pursue are becoming increasingly more unconventional. And that's what we're really trying to do with divestment, is essentially isolate the business and make it really hard for them to continue with their current business model until they change it to something that is more environmentally friendly. The banks often like to... one of their retorts to us is the weighting of their renewables investment against their fossil fuel portfolio, which, of course, it's great that they are investing in renewables in the first place, but it completely defeats the purpose of what we're asking them not to do, which is to invest in new fossil fuels. Because if they, it doesn't matter how many renewables they've got on the go while they're still investing in companies that are pumping out massive amounts of emissions. And I think the same thing could probably apply to superannuation. Which is, you know, offsetting in general in climate change is something that's fraught with, you know, kind of some inherent dangers and risks. Our main thinking around private equity, if a bank is to divest and then that company ends up in the hands of private equity and then they force said fossil fuel company to extract ever more fossil fuels at increasingly risky methods, just to make more profit before they run the company into the ground, isn't that an inherent risk? Well, yeah, it is. It is a massive inherent risk for sure. Our main retort to the banks and the investors that we engage with is that it's hard to imagine how the banks could be failing more in their approach to preventing the or changing the company's behavior that they're currently invested in. For instance, it's hard to think how a private equity firm would make, say, Woodside extract more gas than they're already planning to do with Scarborough, which was funded by ANZ, NAB and Westpac. So as it presently stands, I think the bank's approach is already not good enough, given the climate crisis that we're currently facing. It would be incredible if the banks were able to use their position as a listed company, as an institutional lender of choice, to actually influence those companies to change their behaviours. But currently, we're not convinced about the merits of their engagement approach. And we're not convinced that those companies are getting the message about how much they need to change their behaviour. If they do decide to go down the private equity route, I suppose that is an inherent risk in the divestment approach. But again, given the seriousness of the climate crisis we're currently facing and the banks and super funds failed stewardship in changing those companies, it might just be that it's a risk that we ultimately have to take. And it's not necessarily that that will eventuate anyway in the hands of private equity. Like, as I was pointing out before, Adani found it very hard once the Carmichael coal mine became so toxic that no bank or insurance company wanted to touch it to actually do business in the way they intended. And that mine is operating at a fraction of the size it was intended to, which I consider to be a real win for divestment. And Adani is currently pursuing many unconventional forms of financing, such as an insurance mutual that they want to set up in Australia to where they'll take on some of the risk amongst other coal companies who equally want to insure each other because no one wants to touch them. But it is an inherent risk, but I think it's a risk that is not as bad as the alternative. But for me personally, in the banks and how it relates to the banks context, it would be, I mean, the prime example I can think of is that the banks have now set policy restrictions that say by 2025, we expect our clients to have published climate transition plans. And we always say, okay, 2025, that gives Woodside and Santos at least 3 more years to lock in those projects that they're building for decades to come. We think your first starting point, if you are genuinely committed to being a net zero bank, should be that a client is not building a new fossil fuel project. That should be the starting point. And that should be the beginning of the engagement process. It's not unreasonable to go in there and say, we are a bank that is committed to net zero, keeping with the goals of the Paris Agreement. Your current business model is incompatible with that. If you want to continue a banking relationship with us, you need to change your business model. And if that business fails to do so, then divestment should be the approach. But the reason we think engagement from the banks is problematic is because we don't think they're doing that at all. We don't think there's any talk around that. I think the reason it is 2025 is deliberately a softball approach to keep those clients on for as long as possible. I think engagement at this stage in the game needs to come with serious repercussions for failing to meet expected standards. And if that's not happening, then divestment is the logical next step. At least that's the way we view it. It's hard to say because energy markets are so unpredictable. I mean, most reputable energy agencies, including the International Energy Agency, which is the peak body for energy in the world, and they provide expert advice on energy policy. And we were all eagerly awaiting the release of their World Energy Outlook last year because they had previously said that if the world is to meet the goal of 1.5 degrees, no new fossil fuel projects can be approved. We wanted to see if they would repeal that finding based on the latest energy crisis. And they actually doubled down and said that anyone who thinks that the current energy crisis can justify a wave of new coal, oil, and gas projects is kidding themselves. We need more renewable energy. This isn't a crisis of renewable energy. It's a crisis of not enough renewable energy. So I'm just hoping that the world follows the advice of the experts and actually takes away the power of these fossil fuel companies.